I don't know that we can keep up the pace of this music for 3 hours, can we?
Let's give it a whirl.
We'll try. We'll see what we can do.
How's everybody doing? Welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Welcome, my boy.
You can't do that for 3 hours.
Did it for, what, 10 seconds?
You'll blow a tonsil. Do you want to do that? You don't want to do that.
Not especially.
You came in with great concern this morning. You were very worried about something.
I'm a dork. Can I just tell you that?
Yeah.
This
is the part where Steve and I should seem surprised, but no, we're very accepting of this.
Yeah, I didn't hear. No, you're not.
No, we accept it.
No, yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are just some weird things with automobiles these days, and we have a really old car that you can't, there's no satellite radio. I think there's still an 8-track player in it, but I also have a new car, and a lot of times you have a keyless ignition.
Right.
And
it's hard to go back and forth because you just sit down and you forget, am I in modern day car or am I in car from years gone by?
Right. So you have one of each as well?
We did until, you know, fairly recently. And then now all of our cars are up to date.
Wow. Ours are not. But I'm keeping one for an 18-year-old if he ever gets his license.
Oh.
So anyway, I pulled into the parking garage. I parked next, or the parking lot. I parked next to Dave Ennett, and I came in a panic because as I'm walking up here, I'm like, did I push the button to turn the car off?
Yeah. And now, some of them will automatically just turn themselves off, or if you leave the vehicle a certain amount of distance, it just turns off. Mine does that. Yours doesn't do that?
I don't know.
Oh.
All I know is that there was one time I was doing a bright and early hardware store trip, and a guy and I were waiting for the same parking spot, and I was there first, and it was pretty crowded, and I had a bigger car, so I was sitting there waiting, and I muscled my way into the spot.
Yeah.
I parked. I went in to get whatever it is I was looking for at the hardware store at the time, and I walked away like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
And then I come back outside, and about 10 minutes later, and my car was still running.
Oh.
Which means that guy should have just stolen my car.
He should have.
Moved it and taken the spot.
He missed his opportunity. I would have stolen your car.
I didn't leave the keys in it, but yeah, you'd think there'd be an automatic shutoff.
There would have to be. And then Steve Cochran mentioned that there's, I guess there's an app for almost anything at this point, but there's some app where you can check the status of your engine. I didn't know that.
Those are Chevys.
Oh, is that right? Is it only a Chevrolet thing?
That's what he
said. I didn't know that.
But what a great idea.
Yeah. Well, they have that with your house, too, right? Can't you check to see if you left some electrical appliance running or not running?
Well,
you can hook that up, can't you?
Well, I can't. There's a whole system that you have to hook up together.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
Speaking of technology and how it doesn't play well into our lives sometimes, as you know, because you've mentioned how proud you are of me, I now have an iPhone. I was the last person on the planet Earth to get an iPhone.
Just as the new ones are coming out, you get two older ones.
I waited to get an old one.
That's fine. Probably a better price.
Nope. All right. So I said the other day, I don't remember who was in the room. You may have even been in the room. I said I would like my iPhone, the Siri portion of my iPhone, to speak to me with a British accent. That would make me very happy if we could do that. And so, people said, you can do that.
Yeah.
It's very easy to do. So I went online, as you advised, to Google tutorial of how to do that, and I spent an hour and 21 minutes yesterday, and it still will not speak to me with a British accent. It keeps telling me that it's downloading that ability, but then it doesn't make any progress.
Kevin, you could probably
do
that.
Much like myself. It's the almost exact same blueprint that I use on a daily basis. I continue to download things, but I don't make any progress.
Is it still buffering?
There's a circle. It looks like a clock, and it keeps going around and around, and it says downloading. And then I wait for a while, and I think, oh, won't this be fun when I ask it questions and it answers me in a British accent, but then it doesn't.
Were you connected to the Wi-Fi at the time? Because maybe that's
I'm
why it's not.
Pretty sure. Yeah, I was at home, so it automatically connects, right?
Well, if you punch in a password one time.
Then I'm all right. I have that.
Would your daughters do it?
Yeah.
Did the rabbit do it?
Yeah.
What is your password, Bill?
1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, am I not supposed
Wendy,
to say that? I'm sorry.
Some things are in confidence.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty simple thing because you could get a male or female, and if it's not Siri, who is it?
You
Sam?
No, it's still called Siri. You can get male, female, and then you can get American accent, which comes standard. British accent, Australian accent, and I think there might be a fourth one, but that's all I need. I just want the British one. I would just want a British woman to tell me things, but it won't play along.
I'm sorry.
An hour and 21 minutes. No, Siri.
Do you want British? Because I could do it in about a second.
I got it, Bill.
You already do?
No, when she said she was sorry.
Oh, that's right. Thanks, Steve.
I'm doing it currently. Patron assistant.
Oh. What Hi, happened? Siri. She is now British.
Yeah. That's how easy it should
still
be in
downloading,
real life.
Though,
yeah, mine's
Bill.
Downloading too. It's at
but
19.
I guarantee it's at 19% because mine at the 10-minute mark was still at 0%. And I said, you know what it'll do? It'll do one of those burst things where it doesn't hardly move at all. And then all of a sudden you'll go, oh, I went from 0 to 30 or 40 or 50. An hour and 21 minutes, nothing.
Can I just tell you
how much...
It's
easier for me to actually hire a British woman to stand next to me and I'll just ask her questions all day.
I am just... you make me giggle on a daily basis for numerous reasons, but the one that I love is that your
inability to do anything correctly.
No, your unbridled excitement about getting an iPhone that people had 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy. I also just got a light bright.
I'm Siri, your virtual assistant.
That didn't sound very British.
I went back to American.
Oh, you did?
Because that's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't want...
It's your native tongue.
You guys are right. You aren't keeping up with the pace of the music at the start.
No, we're not. I told you we wouldn't, Steve.
Ouch.
I told you. There's no way.
Just saying.
It's impossible. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break, and then Ted... I may have some respect for Ted Cruz all of a sudden.
What?
I know.
You have changed.
I've changed. So, yeah, I know. All right, stick around. I'll explain why next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. Ted Cruz, right? If I said to you, Wendy, describe Ted Cruz in one word, what would the word be?
Goofy.
Goofy. Very good.
Thank you.
I would go weaselly. There's a weaselly aspect
there
to
is.
Ted Cruz, right? And if you are a weasel yourself or if you own a weasel, I'm not saying anything disparaging about weasels. I'm just saying that Ted Cruz has a weaselly kind of an attitude to him. Okay. So yesterday they found this website... A porn website, one that one would visit if they wanted to see naked people doing crazy things.
It's a pretty good one.
and on this website, you know, there's a series of videos.
That's what they do.
My guess would be thousands and thousands and thousands of videos. One of them got a like from Ted Cruz.
That can't really be him.
That's what I think, too.
Somebody's trying to...
It was at midnight, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Donald Trump doing it. He hacked into his, he made a fake Ted Cruz account.
See, this is what I think, too, is that I think somebody hacked into Ted Cruz's, their Twitter account, their email? How would you do this?
It depends how he liked it. If he liked it on Facebook, you could create a fake account. And hang on a minute. You said there's now all of a...
If you see the video, we'll know how he liked it.
Right. Depending on the category, I guess.
What surprises me is you went into this saying you have more respect for Ted Cruz.
I was going to build a case for it, but if this is true and this is actually Ted Cruz on some sort of an adult video website liking stuff, like watching something going, now we're talking, then I like him more because it humanizes him. It lessens the weasel aspect of him and puts more human into him.
A perverted human weasel.
Right. Right. Now, today, a spokeswoman, this is the best part of the story. A spokeswoman for Texas Senator Ted Cruz said that a pornographic video that was liked, and that's in quotations, by his account has now been removed and reported to Twitter. Why did they remove the video? Why didn't they just remove his comments?
It sounds like they just removed his like.
Oh, is that
thing.
Right?
That's
I'm
what
it's. Let's see. Senator Ted Cruz said on Tuesday, a spokesperson for Ted Cruz said that a pornographic video that was liked by his account has been removed and reported to Twitter. So I think they took the video down. No, he's
did
not
he like it?
No, did they take the video down or the like down?
That's what we're trying to determine.
Yeah, I thought they de-liked it.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, I thought they took the video down. Why should they suffer?
No, the video's still there.
All right.
Oh, my God. Stop already?
In a G or PG rated manner, can you tell us what we're seeing in the video
screen? I don't have any idea.
All right.
I'll look. I'll watch. I'll be the man here.
The offensive tweet.
Someone has to. With us.
The offensive tweet was posted on at Ted Cruz's account earlier and has now been removed by staff. This according to Twitter. According to Catherine Frazier, that's Cruz's senior communications advisor. Her response came after Twitter users noticed late on Monday that Cruz's account liked a tweet from the account, which was titled Sexual Posts, Sexual, by the way, spelled S-E-X-U-A-L-L. Two L's in sexual, but I guess spelling isn't their forte. It's unclear as to who is responsible for the like or if Cruz's account had been hacked. Frazier, down goes Frazier, did not address how the tweet happened, and Cruz's office did not immediately respond to CNN's request for additional comment.
Can you see that conversation? I'm not going out there. You go. Right. I'm not. Right. We got to send a woman.
Right. Right. Send Frazier. She'll do it. Send Catherine Frazier. Cruz had not addressed the issue on his Twitter account as of early Tuesday morning.
All right. Well, just so everybody knows, if someone's checking the history on my computer right now,
yeah,
I'm looking at sexual 2L posts.
Oh.
And right. I have a caution. This profile may include potentially sensitive content.
All right. Well, we're all very sensitive, Wendy. You know that. That's what brings us together. Who reads the other comments on an adult website?
Personally,
is that what you do when you're perusing adult materials? Why are you looking for reviews?
All right, that's the best point ever. Because, you know, on Facebook, if you put something or if a friend of yours and you see a bunch of likes, sometimes you go through to say, oh, who liked it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you're going to sexual posts for sexual posts.
Why spend the time going, I wonder if any senators have liked this particular video?
It doesn't look that bad on this.
It's not that graphic?
I can't find the exact video. But in the sexual posts description on Twitter, it says, follow for the same porn that Ted Cruz watches.
Oh, so they're using it as a marketing campaign.
18 and over advised.
So at some point, does he himself address this, or in his camp, is this considered, all right, we took care of it. We sent out Catherine Frazier. She said what she needed to say. Ted doesn't need to address it. It makes it even worse if he does. Or does he come right out there and say, not me, wasn't me?
No, he won't say anything.
He won't say anything, right?
No.
Because that somehow legitimizes it, doesn't it?
Well, you don't want to have your voice associated with it or your pictures.
Right.
Yeah, but again, it goes back to if I'm accused of something I didn't do, I will not shut up until everybody hears my side of it.
That's how most people are, right? If you're accused of something, you go, well, I don't want people to think I had a hand in this.
Did the statement say he didn't do it? Bill, quit it.
A little delayed reaction there, Steve.
That joke came with the kit.
I didn't even
have to write that. It came with the kit.
Stop saying that word.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Did the statement say it wasn't him? Or did it say they're looking
into it? No, it just said they removed the dislike button, really.
Right, that's all it said.
Right.
What was he thinking? I mean, if you like it, say it out loud. Don't post it.
It was late at night.
Who cares?
Family might have been separated
is a good one.
Hurricane.
He should do a review show where he reviews adult videos.
Maybe his internet just came back after.
Right.
That could be. That after the power outage.
Harvey. It just automatically went on. That's what was on. He couldn't help it.
The internet was back and he liked that.
630 is saying that porn comments are usually great, so maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing when on these websites. I got to start reading the comments more.
You're taking the heat off of Ted Cruz. I appreciate what you're doing.
No problem.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a little break.
You have more respect for him now. That's interesting.
I know how crazy that sounds, but don't you see what I mean? It kind of almost makes him human.
I didn't think
there was any human part of Ted Cruz. I thought he was created in a lab. But then I hear this and I go, oh, maybe it's true. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more show. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill, and it's Wendy, and we're at 312-981-7200. Should you want to call and contribute if you want to ask a question or throw in your 2 cents, which is not a lot of money anymore. May I share a strange moment with you from the weekend?
Yes.
I will not say the name of the town. I will not say the name of the hotel because it's not important and because the people I'm about to talk about could very well be listening because it's within the listening area, right? So I don't want to get into specifics. I just want to share what I thought was a very interesting way that a hotel took care of a problem. My wife picked me up on Friday. Terry got me right after the show and whisked me away for a romantic weekend in some nearby community.
All right.
So at the last minute, like I think I mentioned to you where we were heading,
mm-hmm.
But at the last minute, she said, you know what? We've been going there and we like it there, but let's try someplace else. So we went someplace else. So when we got
Exciting.
There. Yeah. So when we got there, our room was not quite ready yet. And that's totally understandable. We got there a little early, earlier than the normal check-in time. Perfectly understandable. So they said, if you want to wait in the lobby, which was we were there already, just have a seat and we'll certainly let you know the room is going to be ready within minutes. Okay. So I go to the car, I get the luggage, we just sit there in the lobby and we're waiting. While we're waiting there, another couple comes by, a little bit older, a little more tired looking than my wife and I, and they plop down right next to us. And then, again, why wouldn't they? It's the lobby of the hotel. Everyone's entitled. So then the guy says to me, where are you from? And I tell him, and he and his wife just nod, and he goes, how'd you get here? And I go, well, we drove here. And he goes, no. What route did you take? So I go, I had to think about it a little bit, and I told him the route. He goes, well, that's an interesting route, but what you might want to do is, and then he tells me a completely different route. And I go, noted. Next time we visit, I will try your route. And he goes, one time, my wife and I decided instead of that route, and he tells me a different route. And I go, that sounds exciting too. And he goes, yeah. He goes, and then another time, he goes, now, do you like the back roads or do you like the highways? I go, either way, just whatever gets me here. He goes, well, here's something you might want to consider. And he tells me yet another route. And he goes, now, people will tell you, if you're taking that route, what you want to do. And he tells me this other, and my wife and I are, you know, we love hearing this, but we...
Well, enough's
we
enough.
Have plans, right? Yeah.
They're going to have a great weekend, that man and his wife.
Oh, without a doubt.
He's Mr. MapQuest.
Without a doubt. So, my wife gives, you know how when couples are together after a while, there's a look you can give. You don't have, there's no words involved. You don't have to
say a
single word.
But you can still communicate.
Right. So her look to me and my look to her was the same, which is one of us needs to go to the desk and see if our room is ready because eternity just passed us. We just watched eternity come in one door and go out the other door. So Terry went and said, is the room ready yet? And the girl just, she looked frightened and she goes, no, not yet. She goes, I keep trying, but it's not ready. Like she could hear the conversation.
Oh. And there's no bar in the lobby? Because that would have helped.
My guess is that the people we were talking to had already visited said bar.
Oh.
But we had not. And, you know, a drink at dinner would have been plenty for us. But the more they talked, the more I thought, now I understand why people drink in the middle of the day. I may start doing that. So this continued for either 5 minutes or 10 years. I can't tell which. It was one or the other. And then when our room finally was ready, the girl behind the desk. Now, this is the reason I bring this up is when you're in hotel management or work,
guest
you sometimes
services.
Have to make split second decisions. So she slid my wife a voucher for $20 off of our dinner. Should we eat there in the hotel? And whispered these words, I'm so sorry. Like that.
How attentive was that girl?
Wasn't that nice? That was very nice. Very unnecessary. But her polite way of saying, it's our fault that you had to endure that.
It's not their fault.
We weren't. No, it wasn't. Because we could have got up. We could have, you know, excused ourselves politely. That would have been very easy. But now I know 11 different ways to get where we just were over the weekend.
Well, some people like to share little tips with
people.
Yes. One or two.
Yes.
Not 12.
You should always limit if you have tips like that. Now, keep in mind, I told you the story about how I shared little tips about The Godfather with one of my daughters. I now know how she felt.
Wow.
Where you just go, life sometimes needs a fast forward button. Where you could just, if somebody's telling you a story, you could just press fast forward and they would speed up and get to the end of it.
But isn't it funny how, you know, in our family it was like the stranger is always right. You always are nicer to the stranger. You were nicer to them.
So nice to them.
Like if it was me doing it, you really would be like, Wend, really? Enough. After 12.
There's a time where you just go, okay.
Yeah.
This has run its course.
You didn't want to be rude and
no,
you weren't.
No, not even a little bit.
And you got a $20 voucher. I'm wondering if that girl charged him an extra 20 on his credit
Maybe.
Card. For, yeah. So then they were even.
What's this route explanation charge for $20 on my bill? I don't remember that. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Bridget Carey has some big news from the world of tech.
iPhone Day.
We'll find out what that means in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. It's a big day for Apple iPhone users. And, Bill, I am proud to say you are now one of them.
Yeah.
Congratulations on getting two phones ago.
Yeah.
Everyone else is excited about the brand new iPhone. There have been rumors out there. What is it called? What is happening? Bridget Carey from CNET on the line with us to explain it all. Happy iPhone Day, Bridget.
Oh, boy. Finally. Finally. I can stop talking about rumors in just a couple of hours.
Were the rumors true? Was everything that they threw a rumor at, did it come out to be as expected or not?
No. It still hasn't happened yet.
It's
soon. Like, they're actually reporters are at Apple's campus now. This is the first time people have been on that brand new campus that they built and it's going to be presented there. And, you know, so much came out the other day, though, from leaked source code in iOS 11 code that it looks like a lot of the secrets have been spoiled. All this leaked code says there's going to be three iPhones, the iPhone 8, the iPhone 8 Plus, which will be larger, and the iPhone X. Or maybe they'll call it 10, like the Roman numeral 10. It is a 10th year, but I would go for X, you know, like the X-Men and all that.
And this is typical that they release three type of phones. Don't they typically do that, or two?
Well, they might release a phone like and have a smaller, like, downgraded version, but this is not typical to have, you know, three major upgrades at once. And they're doing that because this is the 10th year, and some of the things.
And they don't have enough money. They need to make more money.
They're hurting for cash.
Yeah, and, you know, people are kind of going two ways on this. The tone is, there's smartphone fatigue, like, I don't need to upgrade anymore. What are they going to do to change my life? And then there's the, I got to have something different because it'll look different. You know, and this iPhone X, it's looking like it'll be over $1,000. It's looking like it'll be all screen. You've heard me say that before, where they get rid of the home button. People don't really feel great so much now about losing their headphone jack, much less losing other things. So people like to, you know, use the phone the way they want to use the phone. It's looking like it'll have the high-end version, wireless charging.
That would be nice. No more cords to break or for your kids to steal from you.
Well, you might still live in cord life if you're going back and forth between the office. Like, is that wireless charger going to come with the phone, or is that an extra accessory?
Oh.
Right? How many are you going to buy? And we've seen wireless charging before in competition in the Android phones. So a lot of people always look at these events skeptical, like, what's Apple going to do that I haven't seen already? And maybe they will have something, you know, hidden under their sleeve, like a Siri or something that could change the way you use a phone. I think the big focus is going to be around augmented reality. They're going to have a super double camera in this thing from everything we've seen. So what can that camera do that makes your life better? There's something else also that leaked out yesterday. Animated emojis, you know, smiley faces, cat faces, even the poo faces. They will be animated to send to your friends.
Winnie the Pooh or the brown poo?
I'm talking about the brown stinker. And that one is everyone kind of shared that around yesterday going, okay, so fun new ways to communicate. That's always a big thing in phones, and I'm sure that'll go with a lot of iOS 11 upgrades. It might not be specific to a new iPhone when it comes to hardware. Nonetheless, it's one of the surprises that came out already early. This could go either way. This is a strange time in the smartphone wars. You know, people want the best. They don't realize how much they're paying for a phone when they have monthly payments. They might not realize it's over $1,000 and not care. And then there's more competition now in cheaper phones. You know, everything gets Facebook. Everything gets, you know, WhatsApp and text messages. You know, do you need the top of the line?
All right. I'm concerned about the lack of home button because I can't imagine how you get, like, to the welcome screen and everything. Is there a button off to the side that you would hit in its place?
Wendy, I'm with you. I don't like change. But here's what I do. You probably wake it up with, like, the power button. And if you want to unlock the phone, there's a lot of talk about how you could just simply glance at this thing it will open up because of the camera and being able to scan your face. I think we all want to know, how fast is it? How accurate is it? You know, is it something that can be fooled if I print out a picture of your face and try to get into your phone? So you know, those kinds of things will have to be shown off. And
what if you shave? I mean, because I haven't yet. I'm getting ready for Beardvember. I want to know if you're a guy and you have a beard, when you do your face recognition and then either you shave or you lose weight or gain weight, will that still be able to recognize your face?
Wendy, what about makeup? I'm scary without my makeup.
Oh, my God, I look like James Spader. I can break into James Spader's phone without makeup on.
Don't do that.
Okay, so the technology is getting better at realizing if you're really there or not versus a picture. And, you know, these are questions that I'm sure we're going to put to the test. I think, though, no matter what, you can still go into the phone by just using a password, you know, a code or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's always workarounds there. I think... You know what worries me as a tech reporter and who follows this so much? There have been so many leaks and rumor reports over the past year on how much trouble Apple has had trying to make this top-of-the-line snazzy phone, whether it's supply issues from Bloomberg reporting or Wall Street Journal reporting. So there's always these whispers of, oh, my gosh, they're having supply issues. Oh, my gosh, they're having trouble getting the Touch ID to work through the screen, so they're going to not do it. And I go, are they rushing? Is there going to be a problem with this thing? And so the iPhone 8 is another phone that's going to come out, and maybe it will have the button if you're hesitant about change completely. And I wonder if that will sway people or not. But if you're an Apple fan, you're going to want the best, just to say you have the 10th anniversary best phone no matter what. But whenever they change something major, I can't help but remember AntennaGate, when there was a problem connecting to wireless service if you held the phone wrong. And I can't help but remember when people put the new thin, new shaped iPhone in their back pockets and then it bent.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't help but be skeptical as a reporter and go, what's going on? Are they trying too hard just to be special for the 10th? Are they taking their time? Obviously, there's a lot on the line, and Apple has put in place things to make it the best. But I'm always a little like, let someone else play with that for a week before I go around.
But Bridget,
and get it.
There's always going to be some bugs in the system. They usually send you a patch fairly soon after. But has there ever been one? Have they ever introduced a phone where there hasn't been at least a couple of little bugs in it?
You know, when they do their incremental upgrade years,
yeah,
they tend to be better. I'm talking about hardware bugs, though. Bugs, yeah, where, like, you know, they don't want to have an embarrassment where something isn't going right or is irritating about the way you have to use it. So, yes, we live in a time where we're all a bunch of guinea pigs doing beta testing on brand new things that cost $1,000. I don't think we should settle for that. So I get a little uppity,
right,
you know? I get a little uppity when there's still bugs to be fixed, when they're making big flashy deals about it. But that's the cycle we're in. A new phone every year, work fast, get it out, and then we'll fix the problems later.
All right.
But, you know, we just, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going on and on.
Yeah, you're ranting a little. Like, that's okay.
She's uppity, Wendy.
I had a lot of coffee. This is a big day for us.
All right.
But you have, like, I have an iPhone 6, and I think my son got not the 6X, so there's not a lot of memory in it like there is in mine. So he's kind of needing a new phone. He doesn't want the 7 because he wants the headphone jack. I'm not going to pay for the 8. So are they giving better deals on, like, the 6 that's available now, if there are any left? Are there any left?
You know, Bill, you might be the last to have gotten it.
I bought the last one.
Really?
You never know. This could have been your time. They usually retire a couple models back in order to push everyone to their new ways of, you know, doing things, which, you know, at this point, if they release 3 new phones, they're going to lower the price of the other models. But to get everything on the same page, they might just retire the model, like the 6 that has the headphone jack altogether. It tends to be at least what Apple does. I don't know if they're going to keep it or not. That'll be.
And this new one being $1,000, I got to be honest with you. I bet the 6 one when I signed up for it was like 6 something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you're saying $1,000, but like the other ones were pretty expensive too.
Yeah, you know, it is a good headline to say, oh my gosh, your phone could be $1,000. A phone could be as much as a MacBook laptop, but history shows us it really isn't that far from what was last year.
Yeah.
If you got the cheaper model, sure, you paid maybe $600-$700. But if you upgraded your memory, which now everything takes so much more memory, the models were at $900. So it's not that big of a jump.
Bridget, you know people, not necessarily industry people, but you know people who get a new phone every year, right? As soon as a new one is introduced, they go out and buy it, right?
Yeah, and it's easier now with all these payment plans.
Appleheads, that's what they're called.
Are they called Appleheads?
We have a family friend who, like, anytime anything new Apple comes out, he's there in line getting it.
And do they feel satisfied by the changes for all that commotion?
I don't think they care. I think they're just so loyal to the brand that they want to have the most recent, highest tech Apple product. Would you agree with that, Bridget?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? There's not a lot in this world like that always is exciting, and this is something that people look forward to, and it's exciting, and it's fun to have a new technology to see where the technology can go. I'm going to take a step back from my cynical tech reporter, you know, personality and actually say this, you know, people get a kick out of what technology can do. Think 10 years ago how life was different before these smartphone wars, you know, became what they are today. You could just call up, you know, hey, Siri, hey, Alexa, I need to do something, and you can get a task done in a snap.
Right.
So it is exciting to see, ooh, in this entertainment consumery way, you know, what is technology going to take me, you know, into this Jetsons world to do different now?
Somebody wants to know if Bill will get the iPhone 8 in 2023.
Yeah, right around 2023. Why? I don't know why that's funny.
You should see, Bridget, since he got his iPhone, which we announced last time we spoke to you, you know, he's like, I'm not going to be married to my phone. I'm not. It's, I can't believe that you actually text back to us now. He accidentally FaceTimed me over the weekend. It's like all of a sudden Bill's having fun with the iPhone.
But I keep saying to you, I'm not having fun with it. I'm trying to figure it out. It's not fun. It's so frustrating to me.
It's pretty
easy. The opposite of fun. Bridget, I explained earlier, I'm trying to make it speak to me in a British accent, which should be easy, but I can't get it to do it. So I spent an hour and 21 minutes yesterday for nothing.
Well, I'm sorry that you spent an hour on that, but you know, forget the British accent. Go with an Australian accent.
Yeah.
My husband has a female Australian.
All right. Maybe I'll do that. I'll pretend Nicole Kidman's in my pocket.
And someone wants to know if I could use James Spader's phone. Can he use mine?
Yeah, that seems fair.
I don't like the face recognition. Okay, when does the iPhone event begin at Apple?
Let's see. It's about an hour from now.
Oh.
Yeah. About an hour from now, they're going to go live, and we're going to be covering it like crazy over at CNET. So.
Well, go to CNET.com. Bridget Carey, thank you so much for talking to us on Tech Tuesday, and you're not getting a new one, are you?
I have a 7, so I think I might wait a little bit because I'm not due for one.
Good for you. Thank you, Bridget.
Thanks, Bridget.
Take care.
Your moan was so seductive that Ted Cruz just downloaded it. I will take a quick break.
I don't even care. I was doing it kind of sarcastically.
I know.
That was a sarcastic moan.
I know that. All right, we'll take a
does
quick break.
Does he know that?
No,
Ted
he
Bruce?
Does not know that. He just liked it on tweet. We'll take a quick break. And then Steve with the news is Phil and Wendy on WGN.
You had a better intro. I would like you to do
mine
it.
Mine had more energy. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Tom Mikaitis. Isn't that better? Tom, do you like that intro?
Well, I've had worse.
I mean, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. The human Prozac is what we like to call him. He's a DePaul professor, a historian, an author who's written many books on terrorism, security. All right. North Korea, all of a sudden, is kind of on the back burner because we've had some hurricane issues. And we wanted to talk to you about any updates because I think what was their last thing they did?
Well, of course, they had the what we suspect may be a hydrogen bomb test followed by another missile test. And we've also had the United Nations ramping up the sanctions on them. But the sanctions were not ramped up as much as the U.S. wanted because to appease Russia and China, we ratcheted them back down a little bit.
In your opinion, Tom, should we or shouldn't we be just a little bit nervous about this?
Nervous, yes. Alarmed, no.
No.
I think basically, well, yeah. I mean, those of us who grew up and lived through the Cold War and grew up in the shadow of the bomb, realize that the policy we had then that was quite effective is containment is what we'll have to do here. Yeah, North Korea could launch potentially a missile. There's a lot of ifs here, you know, and I stress I don't, I'm going by open source information. I don't have a security clearance or anything like that, that, you know, we don't know about the accuracy of the guidance system. We, you know, we don't know about how well this thing would work on the tip of a missile and so on and so on. It is worrisome, but, you know, it doesn't do them much good to throw one nuke at the United States and be obliterated, which is what would happen. So I think essentially we're seeing signs of a rational actor who still nonetheless, I mean, I know that sounds a little off, but nonetheless is trying to demonstrate that he has the ability to cause some harm. On the other hand, he is so dependent on China that I don't expect him to do something completely crazy.
Tom, what if Washington called you today and said, Tom, we respect you. We know that you're a terrorism expert. What do we do in a situation like this? What would you tell them?
Well, first of all, what I would do is to tell them to keep on keeping on. In other words, to keep the back channel communications going, you know, make clear to North Korea what our capabilities are, and, you know, continue to work with China to try and defuse the situation. It's really not in China's interest to see us forward deploy a lot more hardware, which if this thing continues to escalate, we would certainly do. So I think I'm optimistic that, you know, optimistic. I'm cautiously optimistic. The cooler heads are going to prevail here.
Well, there seems to be no other choice because if we go to blowing each other up, who wins in that one? No one.
Yeah, I really don't think at this point that would hit the United States. I mean, first of all, we haven't even gotten into the whole question of our ability to shoot missiles down. Now, anti-ballistic missile technology is not a completely reliable thing, but the speculation is we have a 50-50 chance or greater of hitting one of their missiles. And then if we unleash, you know, unshirted hell on North Korea, yeah, they would be knocked out. South Korea would suffer a great deal because even just their conventional capability, over 80,000 pieces of artillery, many of them within range of Seoul, would level that city. So, you know, the loss of life would be pretty catastrophic, and it would be, fall mainly on our allies in the region.
Is this like a poker game where you're bluffing with what you have? And are we surprised, though, that they have the capabilities to make these missiles and hydrogen bombs? Was this a shock to anyone when he started the tests?
I don't think it was. I think Korea watchers have been concerned about this for some time. During the Clinton administration in the 90s, there was an effort afoot to replace the reactors that can allow you to produce weapons grade material with I think they call them light water reactors. You'd have to ask a nuclear physicist for the details on that. That would have been safer, but would have met some of their energy needs. Unfortunately, those talks broke down, and as a result, we've seen this ratchet up. And two, unfortunately, the physical confrontation has been exasperated by a war of words and tweets. But I think the good news is since General Kelly has taken over as chief of staff in the White House, we've seen a lot more measured and moderate communication coming out of the West Wing, too.
Tom, walk me through this. If I understand this correctly, we know that North Korea has the capability to create hydrogen bombs. What we don't know is their missile system on exactly how specific they can be on where to shoot them. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, that's my understanding. And again, I want to stress, stay within my area of expertise. I'm not an expert on guidance and international ballistic missiles. My understanding is their guidance systems are not terribly accurate. So the problem with the way the media is pitching this is, yes, theoretically, one of their missiles could go as far as Chicago. Realistically, that's not a high probability scenario. It's worrisome. I'm on the West Coast at the minute, so yeah. Even a little closer. Yeah. But I'm not losing any sleep over it because I think the real deterrent is the same thing that worked during the Cold War, is the realization that nobody wins in a nuclear exchange. And that's what's really keeping a lid on this.
All right, the new sanctions that were drafted on mm-hmm. Monday, designed to accomplish six major goals: cap North Korea's oil imports, ban textile exports, end additional overseas labor contracts, suppress smuggling efforts, and stop joint ventures with other nations, and sanction designated North Korean government entities. This is according to someone familiar with the negotiations. To me, I want stricter sanctions.
concern of the United States, but in order to get this through the Security Council and to get the support of China and Russia, the U.S. back down, I think it's something like a 55% cap, whereas originally we wanted 100%, and we also wanted to target the personal assets of Kim Jong-un, and also, you know, to do more. And we were forced to moderate that if we wanted the support of China and Russia and this to be a genuinely international effort. So that's why you have moderation there, which raises the real question as to what degree will they work. Sanctions, as we saw in the case of Iraq, have a bad habit of hurting ordinary people, but don't necessarily make dictators uncomfortable.
That was my question. How are the people of North Korea going to be affected by these sanctions as opposed to...
Yeah, well, they have to worry, and they actually have to worry about food. I mean, that's a food insecure nation. And I'm sure the energy, you know, the energy reductions will hurt them. There will be a lot of human suffering, but it's not like it's democracy where they can express their discontent by voting their leader out of office.
Should this escalate, Tom, who is on North Korea's side?
Well, it depends how it escalates. China has made clear that in the event of if North Korea were to fire at an American ally or try to hit the U.S., they would understand the U.S. would respond pretty massively. They've made very clear that they would not sit by idly and allow us to engage in a preemptive strike. And I think that's the thin line we have to tread, you know.
Yeah.
There's most military experts would tell you there really is no good military option here, and that, you know, containment negotiations and engagement are probably the way to go with the saber, you know, the blade of the saber exposed enough to make really clear that what we could do. We've already moved forward some more missile defense capability. I was reading this morning, South Korea was talking about, putting together a decapitation strike team. I'm not optimistic that would work very well. In other words, the ability to take out Kim Jong-un himself and so on. I don't think China would be prepared to let him get that out of control. And I can't believe that they don't have eyes on the ground inside North Korea.
Okay, and what do we make of this threat that the United States would pay, quote, due price if harsh sanctions were passed by the Security Council?
Oh, you know, that's part of the war of words, the inflammatory rhetoric. I mean, I take that with a grain of salt. That's part of the flinging of language back at each other. And not, you know, he's always spoken like that. I'm not terribly alarmed by it.
Tom, rewind for just a second about the idea of some group coming in and taking out Kim Jong-un. First of all, that would be considered an act of war if that happened, correct?
Yeah, and it's we also have a stated policy of not doing that. So even if it did not escalate to war, it in fact it would set a very bad precedent, and it's not clear we wouldn't reap a terrible response elsewhere in the world with that. So, you know, we're reluctant to do that. And it's not clear we could do it. It's got pretty good security. It moves around a lot. I'm not heard that offered as a particularly good option. And then the assumption is it's the same thing. Part of what we're struggling with in Syria, remove Assad, then what? You know, who's taking over? The devil you know versus the one you don't. And I think, you know, quite honestly, if anyone were to remove him, it would be the Chinese, and they would have some kind of backup plan in place.
But to anyone who...
But
you think by taking out Kim Jong-un, you've killed the snake because you cut its head off, that's not necessarily the case, right? There's other people who have similar ways of thinking.
Well, exactly. And, yeah, I don't know that there wouldn't be a better option, but there's no guarantee of that. And that's a pretty aggressive and pretty bold step.
Yeah.
Same thing, too, is, you know, I think a more likely thing would be that I think the next likely military response, if we did, if we saw is to try and shoot one down, if they tried to, you know, if it looked like it was going anywhere, you know, in an area that concerned us. But then again, you know, if you try that and you miss, you've just squandered some credibility too.
Yeah.
No one has, you know, and this is not coming from me, this is coming from the Pentagon and retired military and so on. No one is really laid out anything like a very good military option. Most people consider that sort of a last resort. Nobody really wants to start a war. And what's true is, the good news, too, is we have not repositioned a lot of military assets in East Asia in a provocative sort of way.
Tom Mikaitis is on the line with us. He's a professor at DePaul, a historian, a terrorism expert, an author. What is your website for people to find out all your books?
Yeah, it's under Digication. It's Tom McKite, tmckite.com, I think is what it is. It's through DePaul University. If you go to my, to the department website, there's a link to it.
And you
I don't have my computer in front of me.
You can just Google them as well and find out. It's
You'll find plenty of things to me, you know, and some of them are, some of the things are even nice.
Oh. The Human Prozac. That's got to be.
Yes. What can I say?
And it's spelled MOCKAITIS, Tom McKitis. I got to ask you a final question. You don't have to answer it, but I'm curious. Do you think things would be going any differently if Hillary Clinton would have won this election?
I'm not sure. I think there would not have been, you know, the kind of rhetoric war that we've seen. I'm not sure that, you know, that the dynamics of the development program in Korea would be terribly different. And I'm reassured a bit now that the White House has calmed down a bit on how to handle this. You mentioned that it was because of the hurricanes. That's part of it, that it's gone off the media front burner. But on the other hand, we're seeing official communications and not a lot of inflammatory tweeting going on, which I think is a healthy change. So I really don't know. It's very hard to argue with counterfactual.
All right, I'll take that. And I'm glad things are calming down and the flames aren't still being fanned on Twitter. Fingers are crossed. Thank you for everything.
Sure, anytime.
Thanks, Tom. It's Tom McKitis. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder here on WGN. Speaking of baseball, because you just were a second ago, do you know what's happening with the Cleveland Indians?
They're playing baseball?
They are playing baseball in Cleveland, Ohio.
Thanks for sharing that. No, what's going on?
If they win tonight, this will be their 20th consecutive victory, which will tie them with the Oakland A's from the early, what year would that have been, 2002 or 2004 maybe? Two other teams have made 20 wins in a row. Now, one team, the New York Giants, in I think 1916, had a streak of 26 games where they didn't lose. Now, I know you go, well, that's a winning streak. One of those games ended in a tie.
Okay.
So the stat keepers are kind of iffy on whether or not that's the record or not. But to win 19 games in a row, potentially 20 and then more, it's impossible. And yet they're doing it.
I'm going to ask the dumbest non-sports person question ever.
That's fine.
How could one game end in a tie?
Well, the rules were a little different around the turn of the century.
I guess, but...
People had busy things they needed to do. Now the world's a much more leisurely place now. You play until somebody's the winner. I don't know. Maybe they just ended it in a tie and finished it at a later date. I guess that's possible.
Well, then that wouldn't be a tie. Then someone would have won that contest.
That's,
I mean, was
true.
There, you know, if it was a tie and there was extra innings and it started raining.
Right.
But other than that, I didn't think you could end it in a tie.
I'm trying to think if back then. Now that I think about it. No, but there was a game a year or so ago. I don't remember if the Cubs were involved in it or not, but there was a game that ended in a tie.
How come? What were the extenuating circumstances?
I think maybe because it just didn't matter in the standings. It was toward the end of the season, if I remember right. And they just figured, it went into extra innings. Maybe it was raining or something. I don't remember the exact situation, but I know for sure that a game did end in a tie either last year or 2 years ago.
Could it have been the Pirates-Cubs game?
Yes.
In 2016?
Yes, so it was last year. Why did it end in a tie?
I will tell you. Officials called the Pirates-Cubs game in the sixth inning with the score tied 1-1. Heavy rain in Pittsburgh forced the game to stop for over an hour, and it was eventually called. The two teams are not scheduled to play again this year, and the outcome won't affect playoff positioning, so there's no reason to make the game up.
Right.
Exactly what you
right.
said. You're a genius.
Well, many people have said that, Wendy, over the years.
How many?
They're all in jail, by the way.
The last time, that was 2016, the last time a Major League Baseball game ended in a tie was 2005, when a 2-2 game that featured a Ken Griffey Jr. Dinger between the Astros and Reds was suspended due to rain. Ties were not uncommon occurrences back in the old days when games could not be played in the dark. That's what
why.
It was.
Okay,
but since then, they've been relatively rare. The Pirates were last involved in a tie in 1998. So it happens.
Not often.
Yeah.
Very infrequently. But I wish the Indians good luck. I hope they break the record. That's very, very exciting. And I know you go, well, the Cubs just had to face them in the World Series. Why wish them good luck? It's just such a rare occurrence to win anywhere near 19 or 20 games in a row. I'd love to see it happen.
And you were in Major League and Major League, too. Wow. So you have a special spot in your heart for... Why is Chief Wahoo still around?
I don't know.
I mean, I really got to keep asking
people. I have
people.
Nothing to do with that. That's not me.
Aren't you surprised?
Did you see the picture of the three major stars of Major League? They all got together last week in Iowa at the Field of Dreams. You had Tom Berenger, you had Charlie Sheen, and Corbin Burns.
Yes,
all there
Corbin
together.
Looking very old. He is. I guess
the
we're getting older,
aged
too.
A little bit. The new movie is going to be called Major Leak. It's going to come out this summer. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kim, thanks very much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder here on WGN. We're at 312-981-7200. Don't forget, when we get to 12 o'clock, when we get to noon, even though you won't hear us here on regular WGN, you can hear us on the internet version of WGN on the stream where we do an extra hour, the bonus hour. It's fun.
You know what right? I miss?
What?
The noon whistle.
Yeah, the noon whistle. We should bring that back.
Did you have one in your town?
We did not, but I know of people who did.
Woo woo!
Right. All right.
I would like
the noon
whistle.
Will you do that at noon for me?
I would love to hear that. I got a lot to do on the stream at the very beginning.
I know, there's some busy work. I get that. Wendy, I'm going to throw a name at you, and I want to see if you're familiar with this name. If you're not, please don't feel badly.
I won't.
Sergio Dip.
Nope.
Sergio Dip. Now, at this time,
Dip, yes, D-I-P?
D-I-P-P, the traditional spelling of Dip. The last name spelling of Dip. At this time yesterday, most people didn't know who Sergio Dip was, but then last night, he made his debut on ESPN's Monday Night Football. He was a sideline reporter. Now, last night was a big game for ESPN because there was a milestone. This is hard to believe, but it's true. A woman named Beth Mowins called the game. She did play-by-play for Monday Night Football. It was the first time in history that a woman did play-by-play for Monday Night Football.
I heard it. What did you think?
I thought she did a nice job.
I thought she did too, but, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And good for her, but I have to say, it took me a while to get used to the sound of a woman's voice.
I get that too. It shouldn't be that way.
What's her name? I want to hear some clippage.
Beth Mowins is her name. M-O-W-I-N-S. Beth Mowins. And she's been doing other football games over the years. She's not done a Monday. No, but no woman has until last night. It's hard to believe. Isn't
it is hard to believe. And Kim, I understand what you're saying. And it's like everybody's like just the tradition is hearing a man's voice
right.
do the announcement. So it sounds
right.
unusual.
Do you remember years and years ago, the White Sox? So this would have been in the late 1970s. The White Sox were one of the first in baseball to put a woman in the booth. They only did it for a year. They had a woman as like the third person in the booth, and people were not happy about it. People said, oh, don't do that. I didn't turn to baseball so I could hear some lady blabbing on about stuff she doesn't know about.
Okay, I could see that in the 70s.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But
really,
not today, right?
No. And I'm surprised it's taken this long for this to happen. Can
right.
we hear a little example? What is her
Beth
name?
Beth Mowins is her name.
The deep man in the eye behind Andy Janovich. And Anderson will get the call, and he's wrapped up by Joey Bosa after a short game. Anderson at tailback, and then you've got two outstanding receivers in Thomas and Sanders, three straight years each of over 1,000 yards
See,
receiving.
That's,
and we're going to be keeping an eye on those
that's
two.
That's as perfectly credible as you could possibly be calling a football game.
She sounds like a girl I'd like to have a beer with, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And oh, she knew her stuff.
She
There's
definitely
no question
knows her
about
stuff.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it does take people, if you're used to years and years and years of exposing yourself to Monday Night Football or football in general, you go, oh.
Is that a high talker?
Right, right.
Because she
Emo
sounds...
Phillips doing the Monday Night Football game?
She does have a lower voice.
Right.
It takes a moment to realize she's a woman, and really, who cares who it is, as
exactly.
long as the plays are being called correctly.
Exactly. All right, so
I kind of enjoyed it.
I know. She's good. All right, so that should have been the story. The story last night should have been Beth Mowins, the first woman to call a Monday Night Football game. So then along comes Sergio Dip. He is also making his NFL Monday Night Football debut. He has in the past done other football games, mostly for ESPN's Spanish feed, right? That's his first language, is Spanish. So they bring him on, and it doesn't go very well. he gets a little camera shy right off the bat.
Oh, that's not good.
I will warn you, this is uncomfortable because you're a broadcaster and you know there are times where you just go, oh, well, he did that for a little while. Listen.
Bev, coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL. And here he is, having the time of his life this night, making his head coaching debut.
That wasn't that bad.
It reminded me of the, do you remember whatever the beauty pageant was where the girl
such
just
as.
Answered? The, yeah, that is exactly what it reminded me of.
Where he's searching for every word. He'll get a word out and then he'll go, oh, now I have to throw another word out there and then another word and then another word.
I've heard worse.
I love the, here he is on your screen now.
Yeah, that was bad.
We know he's on the screen. I know. We're watching football.
I know, but, you know, I guess I didn't see it. Did he look uncomfortable?
Yes.
Because listening to it with the sound in the background of the crowd, it
right.
wasn't, I mean, I've heard way worse. And that's, God, that is a terrible feeling when
yeah.
you got nothing.
He was struggling.
When you see the video, though, you can see how uncomfortable he is.
Well, his first time's over with.
Yeah, he's
right.
done it.
He time number
ice.
Two is going to be better. It's got
oh,
to
I
be.
I promise you. I guarantee you. It will be better next Monday. So he became what the kids like to call an internet sensation. Everybody fell in love with this guy because it was such an awkward night for him. And think about it. There's a lot at stake. This is a big deal to be a sideline reporter on ESPN's Monday Night Football. It's a big deal. But he knew it was coming. He just got a little nervous. So this morning, he sends out a message to people that's kind of strange, explaining what went on yesterday. Let's take a break, and then we'll play that message for you. See if this endears him more or less to you.
All okay? right.
That's coming up next. This is Sergio Dip Hour on WGN.
Beth, coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL. And here he is, having the time of his life this night, making his head coaching debut.
Now I have the time of my life. No, I never.
You're a jerk.
That was Sergio Dip, Wendy. His family's very wealthy. You know why? They invented Fun Dip. They make a lot of money off that Fun Dip candy. Well, Sergio last night made his ESPN sideline reporter debut, and people are saying, and I'm one of them, it didn't go great.
I got to be honest with you. Listening to it, it wasn't great. All right, I'll give you that.
Right.
But I didn't think it was that bad, and I just watched it now. He's adorable. He is nervous.
Yes.
He's at least giving some background information on Coach Vance, which
right.
I hope is correct. Coach Vance Joseph.
Well, now he thinks, and we're going to play a little bit of his audio that he sent out today, Sergio Dip's audio. He thinks people are criticizing him because of his comment about the diversity in the coach's background. But they're not. That's not why they're making fun of him. They're making fun of him because he was kind of tongue-tied and he didn't know what to say.
Before we hear that, can we talk
yeah.
to WGN TV morning news, Anna Balaval?
Yeah.
Anna, I don't think he did that poorly.
I didn't either. When Bill was saying that this is not his first language, so his language is Spanish, he comes from Deportes, I was like, oh, my God, he's having that recurring... That recurring dream I used to have before I switched from Univision to GN that they would toss to me and I'd be like, be fire, mucho smoke. Don't come around here no more. And honestly, I had to Google him to see if he was born in Mexico because I didn't think there was an accent. I think he was nervous. I think when you do the crossover and you've done Spanish TV for so long, you are feeling like I got to go slower. They can't hear my accent. And I just, it's not easy, guys. It's just, I thought he was going to sound awful. And this just sounded like a nervous reporter, a nervous rookie reporter who just got the big gig on the sideline. And maybe ESPN should have given him a little more coaching and not thrown him to the wolves, you know.
Maybe. Los Lobos.
I'm a Good Morning America. Digo, I'm at WGN. Good Morning America hasn't called. It might be because I speak like this.
I don't think he did. I detected a hint of an accent, yes. in my opinion.
Yes. Oh, you all do.
I know. And he was talking slower.
If he was British, he would have sounded smart, wouldn't he?
No. And he did slow himself down, which I noticed you have done when you are explaining mm-hmm. how the transition from Univision yeah. to WGN happened. Because
mm-hmm.
typically you're like, you know, very
Anna,
quick.
As you know, I used to host a show called Dios Mio Mañana on Telemundo. And the first time I was on there, I was so nervous.
As you should be.
Thank you.
With your gringo accent.
Yes, I do have a gringo accent.
I just want to say it wasn't great, but he sounded a little nervous. The next time he's on the air will go much smoother. And it would have been worse if he just stood there and stared into the camera. That would have been bad.
I thought we were talking about, because Bill was like, oh, he kept going,
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, he fainted on the air and started cursing in Spanish, which is also a dream of mine. But I think that with time, he'll find his confidence. And I mean, it's scary. He's on ESPN talking about American football. This is not soccer that he could probably BS about, like
sure.
fan about certain things more than others. This is not a sport that he probably grew up watching. So he's being very careful. And he's excited, which is cool, because he feels honored to be there. So I thought, Bill, I was like, oh, no, we're never going to make it to the big leagues. Because Sergio screwed it up for us.
He'll be fine. I'm confident he'll be fine.
Why don't you reach out to him on Twitter and offer to, you know, coach him a little
bit?
Yeah.
You know, there's a reporter on MSNBC. Her name is Mariana Atencio. And Mariana has my accent, and the longer she's on the air, like she just covered Hurricane Irma, I don't notice it, because you just have to be on over and over. Like you guys, when you start on radio, you don't have your voice, and then you find it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now Mariana sounds more confident, and I'm sure she sounded like, I've been told by my bosses, when I started anchoring, I sounded robotic because I was enunciating and pronunciating. And now, like Robin Baumgarten says, she has a Southside accent, so screw it. I just go with it,
yep.
right? I just read the way I would read normally, and it sounds a lot better. So I think it's just, I hope he doesn't get fired because he went viral.
He's not going to get fired. They love it.
They're getting him a lot of attention.
Yeah.
He'll love it.
Good.
He'll be fine. Well, Anna, fun to talk to you.
Listen, it's Sergio, not Sergio.
Sergio.
Tell Sweary Mary I love her, and you guys got to stop putting those videos up there, because I'm almost late to work every day because I have to take time to watch it on Facebook Live.
Why is Kevin breaking up the band, guys?
We don't know. We're trying to convince him to stay, but he's got big offers in California. It's sad.
And there might be an opening at ESPN.
I love you guys.
Love
Bye,
you
Anna,
too.
Love you
Thank
too.
You, Anna Balaval.
From your morning news there on WGN-TV.
How do you say your name?
La. All right, so here now is a little of his explanation, because they said to Sergio Dip, you need to address people and tell them, you know, that everything's going to be fine. And he came up with a reason that things did not go well last night.
It's been a couple of hours now trying to digest what just happened to a 29-year-old Mexican guy like me. It's 9/11. I'm in Denver, Colorado. And this is the NFL. A Monday night football game between the Broncos and the Chargers. The biggest stage possible. I was studying my elementary school September 11, 2001 in Calexico, California. Born in Mexicali, Baja California, Mexico. But growing up in the American environment as a minority like head coaches Vance Joseph and Anthony Lynn. So what I wanted to do was to show some respect, making my debut as a minority on American national TV, the biggest stage out there, on the most heartfelt day in this great country made up by immigrants. And on some people's perspective, it all went wrong.
Kev, you can stop it there.
Has he taken Sominex to fall asleep? Because he really is...
A word a minute.
Yeah.
He speaks the way I type. but I don't think it's fair to bring 9/11 into this. I don't think you can say, I was on this big stage, and don't forget, because he mentions it two or three times, it's 9/11. That's not fair.
It isn't fair, and he took it too seriously. Listen, I know when you're just starting out in this business, you're not confident yet,
right,
and it's hard to take criticism. And, you know, when we were just starting out, you and Stand Up and Me and Radio, there wasn't Twitter and social media where people could instantly attack you.
Right.
However, he should have just gone with, hey, this is the big time. This is NFL. I was a little nervous. You know what? Got one under my belt. Let's rock.
Wouldn't you respect him a lot more if he did it that way?
Yep.
I think that's the way to have played it. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll join Steve and find out what he has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.